Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and BaltimorePositive.com. Happy weekend to everybody out there celebrating a weekend, maybe on the couch watching the Browns and the Steelers play football, as well as some other teams out there. Of course, the Ravens victorious on Thursday night. We're going to take the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road all month long. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. I hope you have safe travels over the river and through the woods and eat some figgy pudding and do all that stuff. Tuesday, we're going to kick it off at Pappas in Parkville. First ever Crab Cake Tour stop there. We've been to the other Pappas locations. Looking forward to that. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Raven scratch-offs to give away. At least this week, we're going to have some scented tickets as we get into the following week. We're going to be at Coco's on the 29th in Lauraville. We are going to be at the BMA and the Walters, or excuse me, the BMA, not the Walters, at Gertrude's on the 30th with Dan Rodericks. Also on the 1st of December, that is a Friday, we're going to be up at Hollywood Casino in Perryville. The Terps play Indiana on that Friday. I got a great guest in Tom Kelso. We are trying to educate folks about the Maryland Stadium Authority's role, why John Angelos would want to get rid of it, where all of your money is going, and Tom Kelso is going to be joining us again this week before Thanksgiving to sort of whet the appetite for a full Stadium for Dummies series that we're going to be doing on December the 1st. It's also brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing for 5 years through the holidays. And last but never least, Jiffy Lube MultiCare, taking care of my vehicle, getting us some oil in the car over in Dundalk. And we were in Dundalk last week at Costas. We were at Fadley's. We're going to be back at Fadley's later on in late December. We're going to be at State Fair on December the 5th. Just booked some guests for that as well. And we're going to be at the Foreign Daughter in Timonium, importing a crab cake. Of course, I have my Curio shirt on. I'm going to get the purple one here soon. I also have I'm a Blunt Person shirt, which I'll wear that for Luke because he knows I'm a blunt person. Luke, we gave a lot of oxygen to Mark Andrews, and we're going to do that next week, and we'll do that bye week. When they don't even play, we're going to be talking about how they're going to eventually win without him. Seeing Lamar Gimpy, seeing Lamar go into the tent, that was a different level of what happens to the season. Think he's okay. He came back out, performed pretty well. I mean, in general, lost in this Mark Andrews, and Burrow didn't play, and they played a pretty good game on Thursday night for 4 days rest and didn't turn the ball over. It wasn't sloppy. Game was in hand, felt in hand, especially with the backup quarterback. They didn't let the backup quarterback come out and scare them. So all that being said, you know, high marks on beating a division opponent at home by two touchdowns on short rest.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it is what it is. No Joe Burrow, but as I pointed out in our previous conversation, no Lamar Jackson at the end of each of the last 2 years, and the Bengals were puffing out their chest about that. So you don't feel sorry for that. From an entertainment standpoint, it's a little, you know, it's a bummer because the Ravens and Bengals have this rivalry going over the last few years, and how few times we've actually seen Lamar and Burrow both be fully healthy. So that's a bummer, but yeah, the performance by the Ravens on Thursday night, and we spent so much time talking about Mark Andrews. We spent time talking about the tight ends. We talked about the wide receivers. We even talked about the offensive line. A big part of that equation, if the Ravens are going to truly be okay and fine and still able to thrive and make a deep January run and have a chance to win a Super Bowl, it's going to begin with number 8 and him elevating his play with Mark Andrews not being out there, because we've talked about it, and this isn't a knock. Every quarterback has that security blanket. Every quarterback, Travis Kelce is that for Patrick Mahomes. So Lamar Jackson's going to have to elevate his play and do things a little bit differently than he's accustomed to doing. And Thursday night was a really encouraging step, understanding that new reality for the Ravens for the remainder of the year. Because look at that first half. You lose Andrews, albeit at the end of that opening drive, but the opening drive, he's done for the night. They only ran the ball for 30 yards. I mean, and Lamar had 20 of those in the first half. So the running game was a non-factor. And yet you look at what he did, 12 of 19 for 186 yards and two touchdowns in that opening half, and doing what they did, scoring two touchdowns late in that first half. I mean, that was great to see. You know, that was a really strong performance, fully acknowledging Lamar was less than 100%. I mean, we saw him limping around at different times throughout the game. A couple times I was kind of questioning why they were having him run the ball on a play immediately following him markedly, you know, noticeably limping. So
I don't want anybody pulling his ankle, and that happened after he got hurt, right?
Of course not. I mean, again, and you called me the Debbie Downer talking about Mark Andrews. If you lose Lamar Jackson, it's over. I mean, it's just over, right? So, but it was really encouraging to seeing him play the way that he did, and utilizing his wide receivers the way that he did. I mean, we're going to have to see more of that now, because you're not going to have Mark Andrews in that equation, and you can only expect so much from Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler. So it's going to be an ensemble effort. It's going to be a collective effort for everyone to raise their play. But you have number eight out there and upright, and even though he wasn't fully healthy, he was healthy enough to keep playing, and he played at a high level. And the Ravens come out of it. They'll certainly take advantage of some rest for Jackson, to get that ankle right. And we'll see what the injury report looks like next week. But he was very good. And the Bengals are dealing with it now. Who knows what's going to happen with Joe Burrow? Browns are dealing with it with Deshaun Watson. But I mean, the Ravens, we've said it over and over, no matter whether we've talked about Ronnie Stanley or injuries on the defense back in 2021 or J.K. Dobbins, now Mark Andrews, you have Lamar Jackson out there and upright, you've got a shot, and you feel really good about your chances when he's out there and healthy. And again, he did a really good job operating the passing game without Mark Andrews, and without the running game really being much of a complement to them until the second half when they built that lead. So for them to be able to do what they did offensively, given those circumstances, because the Bengals did bottle up their running game early on, that was really encouraging to see that. And again, we're going to have to see more of that now, as we move forward and get into closer and closer to December, and then eventually January.
Where are you on the running game? And I would say, to say there's a consistent running game, we go back to 2019. We'll always talk about Mark Ingram and how historic all that was. I don't know week to week that I know they have a running game that doesn't include Lamar Jackson. And I certainly would think that would even put more pressure on the running game with Mark Andrews being out now. More pressure in that they has to be more productive, and more pressure that's going to be harder to be more productive.
Well, let's understand, we're still talking about this in relative terms. They entered Thursday night's game with the number one rushing offense in the NFL. So I'll say this, and I think this is the point you were trying to make. Do I think this running game is the dynamic rushing attack that we saw a few years ago that was historically dominant? No, I don't think it's that. But I do think the elements, with, yes, Lamar Jackson still being a part of that, because shame on you if you're not going to have Lamar Jackson run, because that is what truly makes him so transcendent, and that ability to do that. But you have Gus Edwards, scoring touchdowns, not necessarily, he's not rushing for 100 yards every week, but has remained productive. And Keaton Mitchell, who, early on, the Bengals did a nice job bottling him up. But we saw him, especially as they got into the second half, and him being able to get a little more run with the lead. We saw him do some nice things, and that was a good experience for him. We've talked a lot about the usage, and I even asked Harbaugh about it on Monday after the loss to the Browns, where I think Mitchell was on the field for only four snaps in the second half. And part of this is he's a young kid, he's undrafted, missed time earlier in the season, has been dealing with a hamstring. They're trying to balance wanting to get him more involved, but also wanting to make sure he's ready to be more involved,
He's not
in
Emmitt
terms of
Smith yet, right?
understanding the
Literally.
offense. Yeah, well, and look, the ability, I mean, the speed is unbelievable. The tools are really exciting. There's no doubt about that. We saw that, a couple weeks ago, right off the bat. I mean, what he can do when he gets the ball in his hands in space. But there's other parts to the game that he's still learning. So, I fully expect to see him more involved. I think you're going to see, as time goes on, less and less Justice Hill. And I think you're going to see more and more Keaton Mitchell paired with Gus Edwards in terms of, what I think will morph into more of a two-headed monster in the backfield rather than, the three-headed monster that we've seen. So, and that kind of played out. Mitchell got eight carries, Justice Hill only had one. Gus Edwards had 12 carries. So I think a lot of it's going to depend on the matchup, how teams are trying to play them from a run defense standpoint. But there's no doubt that the running game is going to be very important. It was always going to be. It's always been. But now, when you are going to have a little more question as far as how your passing game is going to need to evolve, it's going to be even more important for their running game to be consistently robust. And we've seen it be more robust and more consistent here in recent weeks. You know, even first half on Thursday night aside, but they're going to need more and more of that because it's going to get colder, harsher elements. Everyone's banged up. You know, guys are going to be banged up week in and week out. You know, where are you with the health of your wide receivers? Where are you with Lamar Jackson's health on any given week? You know, as we saw Thursday night. So they're going to need more of that. And you know, I think I'm confident that their running game's going to play at a high level. But you know, to go back to your original question, no, it's not the 2019 or 2020 running game. But the hope is it doesn't have to be that because you are better at wide receiver. You do have a more experienced Lamar Jackson from the pocket and doing more things from the pocket than he did 3 or 4 years ago. So, you know, that's all part of the equation here. And we're going to see how this all plays out. But again, given the circumstances that they faced on Thursday night in that first half, I was very pleased to see how their passing game and how their offense in general was able to operate, even with their running game not firing on all cylinders early on.
Well, we talked about how turnovers have destroyed them or upended their chances. I mean, all of these comebacks have been and three and outs, but turnovers specifically, you know, they played a pretty, I said this in the last episode, I think they played a pretty good Thursday night game against a division opponent. They haven't played perfect football this year. Lord knows they blew out Detroit, blew out Seattle, but just for a steady victory, where when the backup quarterback came in, you said, we're not going to lose to that guy. And the game felt in hand to me. And you know what I mean? Like, they haven't had a lot of those. I don't say it was a snoozer or a sleeper or they pulled Lamar off the field like 37-3, but it felt more like the garden variety kind of victory you want to have in the middle of a season, especially when you lose your tight end and you might lose your quarterback's been in the tent already. I'm not as sky as falling with the rest here. The Andrews thing, I mean, you'll continue to reiterate the seriousness of how they're going to replace him, but I feel good about how they played on Thursday night after the Cleveland. And now, like, look, we count to 11 now, right? We don't have a bye, but it feels like that. We don't play on Sunday, and there's going to be a real bye 2 weeks from now. So they're, to your point, they're going to play one game in 24 days. It's crazy. But the feeling that they're rounding into something, that the passing game is coming together, that they're kicking the ball around less, that the defense is a real thing. The defense is something the other team's going to have to contend with every single week because the defense is going to travel as long as Roquan's. We mentioned who would be the next guy to go down that would be awful. It'd be Roquan Smith, but they won a big boy game on short rest when something really went wrong early and they didn't stab themselves in the foot. You know, they didn't kick the ball around. They didn't throw the ball around. They didn't have special teams problems. It was a very, very pedestrian win from that standpoint. It never got nervous.
Yeah. And we'd be disingenuous if we didn't acknowledge it certainly helps when Joe Burrow goes out late in the first half. I mean, that's, you know, who knows how that game's going to play out in the second half if he's out there, but that's what happened. So I agree with you. They played clean football. I think the second half, while, you know, you look at the output and it's like, okay, they scored 13 points. I mean, that was fine. You know, when you're in a position where you lead by 11 at halftime and you know that a backup quarterback, and by the way, let me give it's subtle because I'm not saying the guy lit the world on fire. Jake Browning did a nice job considering that guy had played 4 career snaps in the NFL. One pass, he had never played any meaningful football in the NFL. You know, he was on a practice squad for 3 years. Before, you know, becoming Cincinnati's backup this year. But the point was, he's not Joe Burrow. They already were without T. Higgins. That was a very limited Cincinnati Bengals offense the rest of the way. And the Ravens played accordingly. Play smart. Do not do things to self-destruct. Do not do things to hand them opportunities on short fields, whether it's turnovers, whether it's a special teams gaffe, anything like that. They played clean football, and that's what you want to see. Again, you know, Cincinnati loses Joe Burrow in the same way that Lamar Jackson wasn't playing the last couple of years. Yeah, you should win, just like the Bengals should have, you know, you expected them to win the end of the last couple of years without Lamar on the field. So, but that, fully acknowledging that, they played clean football and they didn't turn it over. You know, we can talk about penalties. I mean, they're some really questionable, you know, the Beckham holding call was questionable. The defensive pass interference, you know, that they called with Zay Flowers down the field.
Right.
That was a terrible call. I mean, guy didn't do anything. I mean, that felt like a makeup call
Well,
for the
that
Beckham
kept the
hole.
drive alive too. That
Yeah,
really helped the
sure.
Ravens at a time
Yeah,
when Burrow was still in the game.
so there was some of that. I mean, there was no doubt about that. There was some of that, but you know, by and large, I mean, I agree with you. And again, for me, the defense did exactly what they should do if Joe Burrow exits, right? I mean, my goodness, if Jake Browning beat him, shame on them, because most people in that stadium never heard of the guy before Thursday night. So you expect the defense to do what they did given those circumstances. But the offense, again, really impressed with how they played in the first half. You know, going up against a desperate Bengals team. You know, Trey Hendrickson made some plays early in that game, but, you know, they were able to get some of those things cleaned up. Yeah, you know, Lamar obviously took the hit on the sideline. You know, pass protection wasn't perfect, but he wasn't under extreme duress all night. You know, he was sacked, what, 3 times for 16 yards lost. But, you know, they played clean, winning football overall. And on a Thursday night, given the challenges there for both teams, but given the challenges and just seeing what Thursday night football looks like on a week in and week out basis, you know, I think you have to be pleased, other than the injury, of course, to Andrews and, you know, other guys, Beckham and Lamar being banged up in that game. But I think just the way they performed, you have to be really pleased. And now you feel really good about yourselves. Would have felt better if you didn't lose Mark Andrews. Boy, they'd be on top of the world. It's like that Cleveland game would have been forgotten. That's why I said if they won this game Thursday night, they're fine. So they're in great shape. They're 8-3. One game in the next 24 days, get a chance to rest up. Todd Monken and the coaching staff go to work on how they're going to reshape and evolve this passing game, knowing that you're not going to have one of the best tight ends in football the rest of the year. You know, there's a lot going for them. And by the way, they need to take advantage of that time because, you know, the Chargers, that's not going to be an easy trip out to the West Coast, but post bye, all right, I'll buy that. You know, the Rams don't scare you, certainly. And, you know, after they looked better earlier in the season, they haven't looked very good for a while now. But after that, at Jacksonville, at San Francisco, home against Miami, home against the Steelers, week 18. I mean, those last four games, I mean, not necessarily the division on the line necessarily, but if you want to try to be that number one seed, boy, they're going to have to do some work there, because I don't think Kansas City's dropping too many games between now and the end of the season. So they're going to have to keep winning, but that's why this next 3.5 week stretch here, or 24 days, whatever we're calling it, that it's, you know, this is a golden opportunity for them to get right. And again, reshape what they're going to look like with their passing game moving forward. So there's a lot to feel really good about, even if, yeah, the Mark Andrews injury actually absolutely stinks.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The feel good about it part, you know, I don't want to be too Baltimore positive here during Thanksgiving week, but the amount of time they have off, the where they are, the concerns I have are the running game, the running game, the running game. I brought that up in the beginning with how does losing Andrews affect their running game, because it's all part of that. You know, what are they going to do on 3rd and 4? How much is Lamar going to have to run, to your point, seeing his ankles get poked at? Because that's what this offense, that's what Lamar has done. When things get desperate, Lamar runs. Like when they get behind by 10 points in the fourth quarter, Lamar runs. That's what they do. They need to make sure that they're not there. Lamar's run in the fourth quarter when they've been ahead, which I don't understand at all. So,
yeah.
And the running game and the passing game being really predicated on how exceptional the offensive line can be. And we always say 2019, and I guess, you know, I'm like a broken record on that, but the offensive line was exceptional. I saw Orlando Brown out there running around on the other team the other night. Marshall Yanda's going to the Hall of really good. You know, the Ronnie Stanley's in the, he's old, is he hurt? I mean, this is a different operation, and it's certainly a different operation without Moses and without Stanley, despite whatever diminished version of Ronnie Stanley you think we have. Patrick McCary is your starting left tackle the rest of the way. I don't know, dog.
Yeah, I'm not saying Patrick McCary. I've never suggested Patrick McCary is as good as Ronnie Stanley. He's not. You know, my point has been Ronnie Stanley's not the 2019 pre-injury version of Ronnie Stanley.
Which is its own problem.
Yeah, it is. But and to be clear, when I say that doesn't mean I think he's the worst tackle in football either. You know, there's a wide range of outcomes there. And, you know, clearly, you know, this is the same knee he hurt back in week 1. He missed 3 games then. You know, we'll see how much time he's missing here. I would expect, and this is purely my speculation, I would expect we probably don't see Stanley against the Chargers because, one game in the next 24 days, give Ronnie Stanley 24 days to get that knee as healthy as it can be then for the final, five games of the season. And you hope beyond, certainly will be beyond that, but you hope a long run after that. So, but yeah, you look at this offensive line, which, by the way, you look at Pro Football Focus, you look at other analytics sites that kind of measure offensive line play, which is subjective, right? And we don't know every player's assignment on every play, so there's educated guesswork that goes into it. But this offensive line is highly regarded, even with Stanley not being at the same All-Pro Pro Bowl level that he was prior to the ankle injury. But you're right. You look at 2019 and better version of Ronnie Stanley then. Bradley Bozeman compared to John Simpson at left guard. I don't have strong feelings there. I mean, Bradley Bozeman was solid to good. John Simpson at times has been good, although certainly wasn't, with a couple of the penalties on Thursday night wasn't great. Linderbaum's better than Matt Skura. There's no question about that for me. Marshall Yanda is better than Kevin Zeitler, but Kevin Zeitler is really good. And at right tackle, I mean, Orlando Brown compared to Morgan Moses, I'd side Orlando Brown as a right tackle. But we talked about it. Moses played with the shoulder. You could see he's wearing a harness, even though he had the black sleeves on. You could see he's wearing a harness. So how's that going to fare for him the rest of the year? When Ronnie Stanley does return, what's he going to look like? Does the knee hold up? How's the ankle, in the big picture sense? So yeah, it's going to be important for this offensive line. But when this offensive line has played at a high level this year, and it has for many games, that's generally been when the offense has been at its best and gives Lamar Jackson time to operate from the pocket, gives the running backs space to work in the running game, and you see a much more complete operation. So all of this is going to have to, continue to work in concert. Again, hats off to them, the offense with the challenges they faced early in that game for them doing what they did, and they played winning clean football, and they had a 2-score lead going in the fourth into the fourth quarter, and they ended up scoring a touchdown and increasing that lead, and making that garbage time touchdown at the end of the game to Ja'Marr Chase. Defense wasn't happy about that just because statistically it makes their performance look lesser, but it was garbage time and no big deal. And again, Ravens come out of this game at 8-3. First place in the AFC North, kind of sort of burying the Bengals, at least from a division standpoint. And they'll now have this chance to get right physically and kind of recalibrate here and really get geared up for the final stretch run, which, hey, they're going to have a whole lot to play for.
We are going to be playing for crab cakes here through the Thanksgiving holiday. We're going to be at Pappas in Parkville. The original Pappas on Tuesday from 2 until 5. Got some great guests lined up, including my pal Christian Horton. I'm already behind the eight ball for this week's picks. I mean, my picks are just slipping here in the middle. I was pretty cocky about week 7, week 8. Last couple weeks, I'm on a schneid. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be giving these away at Pappas on Tuesday. We're going to be at Coco's on the 29th. We're going to be at the BMA and Gertrude's on the 30th, eating a legendary crab cake, which I've never had. So we're going to have John Shields and Dan Rodericks on. On Friday, December 1st, we're going to be up at Hollywood Casino in Perryville with Christian Orton making some picks. Tom Kelso, former Maryland Stadium Authority chairman, is going to do Stadium for Dummies with us on December the 1st. We do not have a lease. I don't know that the Orioles can even sell tickets because they don't have a lease for the stadium next year. So I've talked to people about this. While the Ravens aren't playing a whole lot, it's time to focus on the Orioles a little bit. So Luke will be doing a Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, Coach of the Year, Reporter of the Year, Castigated Journalist of the Year. We got all the awards coming out here next week for Thanksgiving. Luke's easy to find. He is at Baltimore. Luke, I'd say he's on the backfields in Owings Mills, but we're going to give him the weekend off to mow the lawn and make some pumpkin something and get a turkey for Thanksgiving and do all that. Ravens playing just one game over the next couple of weeks. They're out in L.A. next week for Thanksgiving weekend on Sunday night. So be a little more quiet around here. Luke and I may take a little – so we might even talk some baseball around here before it's all over with. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, stay with us and have a great weekend. Happy Thanksgiving. We're Baltimore Positive.